minute, Crossfade.
The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording with Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
It's the Daily Talk Show, everyone.
Special guest.
Christian Hull.
Hi.
What's going on?
It's going to get real screechy and annoying for... How long do these go for?
They go for...
how long you got?
Yeah. Well, do you record them and then edit the absolute bejesus out of them?
No editing.
This is zero... This is probably your podcast, zero filter.
How great is not having the pressure of having to listen back to this and edit it?
Oh, man. It's more just we couldn't do 5 days a week if we had to edit them.
Were you committed to a daily... podcast, yeah. And you can never change because it's called The Daily Talk Show.
The Daily Talk Show, thank you.
That's embarrassing.
I mean, we could probably make some exceptions for editing.
Maybe edit that and pick it up again. It's great to be on The
Daily Talk Show. For people who are listening for the first time, so Tommy and I, we've been doing it for over 100 episodes, every single Monday to Friday, every single day. And at the moment, this is coming out while... I'm away. So we're doing 4 episodes standard, just Tommy and I, every week. But while I'm traveling, we're taking one day off a week where we're putting one of the guests' shows on. So this guest show is...
It's me. You
know, yeah. And it's going to land a little bit later than... This one isn't the day of.
Have you discussed your holidays already on...
I haven't really talked about it that much because
because you're famous now.
No.
I don't want people to know where you're going.
More because it's about as interesting as when someone talks about their sickness.
Talk about their dreams.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you experienced that, mate. Not that interesting. Didn't really happen. It's all bullshit.
Oh, my God. This is ruthless.
It is a little bit.
Talk about dreams or my illnesses.
There was it. When I had I'm starting to do it now. No, when I had fucked my back, remember I had 2 herniated discs.
Boring.
And 100% so boring.
Yeah, it is. Right.
But not boring, Christian.
Well,
people aren't finding you boring with what's going on.
That's what I find surprising. It's because I do a podcast once a week. Ugh, why would you commit to anything more? And it's unedited because lazy. And I just sometimes I don't even have a plan and I just hit record. And I'm like, you just hear a lot of finger tapping, a bit of what's in the news today?
I like it. You don't know what's going to happen. I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. And then a memory pops in your head. And you're like, oh, I have a story about how once I went to a park for sex and this happened. And that's literally most of my podcast.
Do you know about dogging? No, clearly doesn't know about dogging. Because Tommy was talking about a dogger, which apparently...
Oh, dogging. Is that like cottaging? Cottaging's where you go to random locations for fornication times.
Yeah, I think that's what dogging
is. Well, I was talking about a guy that hunts dingoes and Josh brought up dogging, which was a sexual term.
Yeah, because Tommy was talking about a dogger and I thought, is a dogger someone who does dogging?
But he might have been misplaced with docking.
Which is also...
Dogging and docking are very different.
All very different. You're known as... smutty.
I'm really feeling comfortable.
It's getting really...
Let's get our dicks out, guys.
You like to play in the smut. You enjoy a bit of smut.
I know it's the lowest form of humor and it's really easy to make people laugh with sex jokes and smut. Mm-hmm. So I go straight for the smut.
Yeah.
Because I'm not that smart or intellectual and I can't do comedy.
Smut over smart.
Yeah.
Do you find that, has that been an evolution? Were you at the beginning, would you take the foot off the accelerator when it came to that sort of thing? Or have you always been comfortable making it your thing?
I'm 31 now. Since doing sort of the podcast and all the YouTube channel and all of that, I've been very comfortable. Mm-hmm. But prior to that, I'd close off. Like in the closet sort of style, I would talk about sexuality or anything. And that was sort of until I was about 25.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm making up for it by really talking about it so much.
Well, you're a voice for a lot of people out there, I think, for, you know, in terms of
talking about
someone.
The shit that people don't think that you should talk about, right? You get a bit, you get off on the idea that it's like, I'm going to say this.
I don't get off on it. I get off on a lot of other things. But I'm just so open and people are so interested because it's not spoken about. Like, I live alone. Mm-hmm. I love living alone. I don't want to be in a relationship. I'm horny all the time.
Yeah.
Hello. Looking both of you directly in the eyes as you sit in my living room on my couches.
It's really beautiful. It's so cozy. Like it's the perfect place to be in winter.
It's pretty nice. I won't tell you the things that have happened on those couches though.
Oh, God.
Nothing can be with.
No, leather cleans up well.
Yeah, it does. That's why I got them.
Yeah, that's...
No, I'm lying. You already said earlier about my sex dungeon room.
Yeah. No, the I walked past. I don't know if it's your bedroom now or the spare bedroom. That was beautifully kept. I
think that's my bedroom's door's closed.
Yeah, the door's closed. But you know, you used to have Airbnb guests. You've stopped doing that?
Yeah, it's a punish.
Why'd you stop? I was doing it, my wife.
Yeah, how did you find it?
Annoying.
Yes.
But we made money.
Yes.
Some little fucking asshole, one of the guests, and I think I know who it was. We have this cheese board that we got for our wedding.
Oh, you won't stop talking about this cheese board.
I'm ropeable. Well, it's like half marble, half wood.
Oh, from Kmart.
Yeah, I've probably got one. Was from Kmart.
And it's not fucking marble. I've got a few. It's faux marble.
It's what it,
no, well, the real marble.
It looks like marble.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I've got two of them.
We had some guests stay and then it was like, oh, we'll get the cheese board out at some point. Pulled it out and a bit fell off it. They'd put it back in and just pushed it together.
Oh.
And it was definitely some of
our
Airbnb guests.
$10 from Kmart.
There you go. Did you say you got that as like a wedding gift?
I'm pretty sure it was one of the nice ones.
It could be.
Oh,
a
no,
nice.
Maybe it wasn't a Kmart one. Maybe it was like the real original one and Kmart ripped it off.
It could have been Kmart. But
do you want to take one? You can have one of mine.
How many you got?
I've got... Oh, I really want that one.
You got a brand deal with Kmart.
No, but if Kmart are up to it.
You were. I think Kmart is one of those brands that's sort of very in vogue at the moment.
They don't need to do brand deals because everyone posts about them.
Well, they just go super cheap, don't they? You can buy a lot. Like, it's the anti-minimalist approach.
Well, here's the problem with Kmart. And I love Kmart. Oh, this will absolutely secure me never getting a brand deal with them. But what they do is... a designer comes out and designs something amazing and sells it as like a bespoke piece of furniture. Then a year later, Kmart's made a slight change and got a patent and selling bulk of it. So that designer's now...
Not making any money off it.
Yeah,
can't
make it because they've got the patent.
Yeah, a lot of designers will hate Kmart because they do. That's why we all love it because it's like designer stuff.
Yeah.
For $10.
Well, that's why people hate Urban Outfitters. Urban Outfitters was known to do that. They would go on Etsy, still a big fucking search on Etsy, find jewelry designs and then just rip them off.
You know there's factories in China?
Like no.
Wait, suburbs. Suburbs of factories that are basically, as soon as a new product comes out from another company, they'll just start making rip-off versions of them. And they're constantly shifting what the product is that they sell. So it was Segways to start with. I mean, that was one of the problems.
But it's dangerous, right?
Good are Segways?
Have you ever been on one?
Yes, I recently did a trip to Canberra and rode on a Segway for the first time and I want one so bad, but there's that stigma around them.
Fucking
like, oh my God, have I told you the story of the LA Segway guy?
No.
I feel so bad about this. Me and my mate had dinner and this dude rolls in on a Segway, the big Segway we're talking about.
Yes, with the handle.
The handlebars that come
up. A normal Segway.
Yeah. Normal Segway, the OG Segway.
Not like the hoverboards, you're talking
the
big
sticker. No, these
are
the ones you can ride around San Francisco on.
Oh my God.
And so we're in LA.
Well, to be clear, Segways also, hoverboards work in San Francisco, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
You probably wouldn't want to use them in San Francisco because it's very hilly.
No, but they work up hills.
That's why you want them.
Yeah, they work up hills.
Okay, sure.
They're very powerful. Anyway, me and my mate, this is, because they're still not that common everywhere.
And they've been around for like 10 years.
And we're in LA going, oh, look at this fucking asshole rolling in on his Segway to a restaurant.
Oh, it's gross.
He gets to the top of the ramp up into the restaurant and then he takes off the handlebars and it's a walking stick. The bloke had a disability.
Oh.
And we're going, this fucking asshole.
Oh.
The classic
that's
disability.
So that's great.
It's really.
But it does come with that. Oh, look at that wanker CEO, like a startup. You imagine someone that has a startup rides around the office in a Segway. Yeah.
Steve Wozniak, who was one of the founders of Apple, I think he would get on it. Are there a lot of bikies around your place, or is it?
Well, we're in. Can we say where we are?
Yeah, we don't give a fuck.
You need to pretend that you're in like some really fancy.
No.
We're in South Melbourne, which is there's a bikie gang.
Well, we can hear bike.
I want to say the common chair.
Yeah, there's a few.
The microphones wouldn't be able to pick up on it, but yeah, it's very motorbike heavy. At the moment here.
Well, the leader, apparently, this is all from a friend of mine. We were walking down Clarendon Street. I hope I don't get into trouble.
That's fine.
And apparently she's like, oh, look at that. That's the head of the Comancheros.
Were they the bakery? Because I know that there's a bakery that they would all go to. I don't know if that was sort of a front for a bigger thing, but they'd sort of hang.
Tuck shop.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know. So there was a sandwich joint. Is that a brand? Joint.
Is you saying, oh, but it's not there anymore?
Yeah. So,
okay, great.
Got firebombed?
Well, no, they just sold Jaffles out of this weird back.
And you know no one's making any money off. There was a place called Jaffle Jaffle, a franchise. They opened like 9 shops in 6 months. They all closed down.
Well, this is why we thought it was a front for drug money and money laundering.
Well, because, how much money? I think of that about, don't you think of that about so many shops anywhere where you just do the math? You're like, how are you?
Apparently, restaurants don't make much money. That's why they pay their staff nothing and they're really bad with paying them.
Yeah. I mean, it's, would you ever do the hospitality thing? Like, have a restaurant? No.
Don't you know who I am now? No.
You're internet famous. You don't need to do that shit.
I don't need to do anything anymore.
Do you actually feel like it, when you walk down the street, how often would you have someone stop?
It's getting like quite regular.
What do they say?
Like it would be like maybe once or twice a week, but now literally if I like go into the city, I get it a lot.
Selfies?
People want selfies. It's great. I'm probably going to get sick of it, but it's so fun. Like, can I get a photo? I'm like, yeah. And then they do sometimes. Some of them are really cute and they start shaking and they freak out. I'm like, whoa, you need bigger role models. Like,
what demographic are these?
Oh, it's all women or gay guys.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we love your podcast.
Like, is that what they call, like, it's always interesting to hear what people remember about you or what they've, like, do they, what's the most common thing that they say?
So I did a nurse video, which is my most viewed one.
Yeah.
And it's
how many views?
14 million.
Wow.
And it's gone around. You know, it's done the nurse circuit.
Yeah.
So a lot of nurses say, oh, I love your nurse video.
You're so
it's
looked
so
after.
True. That's exactly what our daily life is like. Can I get a photo to show the staff? I'm like, yeah, okay. You take one. And some of them, like, they either think that they're taking up your time. Mm. So they go, hi, yeah, can I get a photo? And they take it and then they just run away.
Yeah.
What's your name? Like, I'm happy to stop and have a chat.
Yeah.
But some people, I don't know whether they just get scared or they... Oh, sorry to disturb you. I'm like, that's fine. I don't do anything. I don't have a life.
Imagine if you ever need to go to a hospital, how well you're going to be looked after.
I thought about that. As soon as that video took off, I was like, I've got it set. I can just walk into a hospital and everyone's like, oh, I'll look after him. Hopefully.
Because
look
back.
At me. Like, I'm putting on so much weight. I've just joined a gym about 2 days ago.
Yeah, I saw that. So you already had a gym membership, but you were like, wasn't close enough to work.
I've got one down the road,
mm-hmm.
which I've been to twice. Had it for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And then I've got a job where I work out at South Yarra and there's a gym across the road. So I figured I can go after work.
Oh, yeah, so you're doing
work for you, right?
Yeah. Like I've got to be really, if I'm finishing work and go, I feel like I might go to the gym. I have to go right then and it physically has to be right there because on the way there, I'm like, oh, I can smell Subway or, oh, I can't be bothered anymore.
Do you like the smell of Subway?
Oh my God, how good is the smell of Subway?
The smell of Subway in your fingers after you eat it though. That's what I hate.
I think that it's
what oniony smell. What?
I don't know. It's something. There's something in
stop. Can you not sniff your finger? If people who can't see the visuals, Tommy's
Christian,
sort of sniffing.
Christian as well. We're both sniffing our fingers.
Yeah.
Holding them together.
That's what this episode will be
smells
called.
Like burritos.
That's actually.
Oh, Rovita.
Yeah, no, because that is the problem. We just had some Guzman and Gomez. Is that how you say it? Guzman and Gomez?
I think it's Guzmani Gomez.
Yeah, you're spot on.
J&J.
But I never know how to say it.
I don't.
Say Guzzi.
Is the common question that I'm.
Sus.
The Mexican is by far my default. What's your default cuisine food? What do you
eat?
Real
bad. Hence why I've put on so much weight. Halal snack packs.
They're
hot chips, chicken salt, a layer of cheese, and then like a huge amount of kebab meat
and the garlic
sauce and garlic.
Garlic sauce.
Sea of sauce on top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is you could change that up, like the healthy version.
There is no healthy version.
Yeah, fucking oath there is. I reckon there is.
No.
I reckon you could. I could look, and Tommy gets pissed off at me because of my relationship with food, but he can go fuck himself.
Why? Because you've lost a lot of weight.
But Tommy doesn't think that my relationship's healthy.
I think you're working on it.
Why? In what way?
Well, why?
Bit of a destructive relationship.
What does that mean?
There's a lot of emphasis on it. And there's
go on.
I think, but that's what it requires, I think, for you to have lost all this weight was a lot of thinking power from you about it, which makes you conscious, which makes you make better decisions.
Well, I'll tell you the healthy version in a second, but when I did the documentary with you, the big series that I did with one episode, one story.
That's
up,
right,
with Christian Hull.
You came here and you filmed a bunch of...
Yeah, and I was asking so many questions about like... weight, because you make jokes about your weight and things like that, And I remember at the time I was trying to tell this story of sort of the sad fat clown.
So for people who don't know, Josh came to my house and we filmed a documentary for his series of documentaries, many episodes he was going to make. I was the first. How many episodes did you get to?
We peaked early. We peaked early. We got just to me. One.
It was
we,
first season. Let's it was just first season.
That. Yeah. It was the first time I committed to, like, there's a title sequence which says, you know, one story, a series by Josh.
That's Jackson. Right. I was just waiting for number two. Yeah. Do it with Jules.
Yeah, we could do. We could give Lund. That a go. Jules Lund.
But you came in and you were asking, like, really deep questions. I'm like, okay, so he's going for the emotional angle. Mm. I'll give him some emotional responses. They were all true, but, like, I find that I desperately want to lose weight, but I crave potatoes, sugar, salt. And, like, cutting them out, I can't work out how to cut them out enough.
You got so lean for a while there, but that was just fucking brute force. You did, like, a 12-week...
25 kilos lighter than what I was.
But you did a 12-week program, didn't you?
It was... Yeah, it was...
9 weeks?
6 kilos in 9 weeks. No, 9 kilos in 6 weeks. So, in 6 weeks, you lose 9 kilos. And it's so intense. Mm. And the incentive is, if you lose the weight, you get all your money back. So, it was like...
And you're not as fat. That's also...
Yeah, also, yeah.
And you got your money back?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't get it anymore?
I lost 4.5, but prior to that, I'd lost about 10.
Yeah.
So I'd lost 14 and...
Should have entered earlier.
So when Josh came over...
it's true, though.
Was he... Did you... You said you sort of are aware of him priming for a part of a story of you.
Mm.
What do you identify your story as? Or do you think about... You know, do you think about it like that?
My weight story.
No, just you as a whole, story. Where that fits in and, you know, what you're doing and what we're talking about now.
No, I never think, I know.
Like I tried that moment where when someone's not giving as much of an answer, Sam Mack was saying Andrew Denton talks about silence.
You didn't give any silence.
I was trying, that was me giving silence.
That was he was talking, you talked over Christian.
Well, Christian was, I feel like he had...
He was telling, he was giving us something.
Okay, here we go.
Well, I don't know what to, like, I've got no clue. Like, but that's like the same when Josh came here, was trying to get these deep answers. I'm like, yeah, no, sometimes I'll have some Vegemite and, you know, have a nap.
Sometimes we see from the outside in and we think there's a story to something. Mm. And I've had this, I've done exactly what Josh has done with clients of mine that I'm making videos for. And I did one, they were an immigrant, but they didn't see themselves as the story that you'd paint about an immigrant, right?
Yeah.
They're like, no, I'm privileged. I've, you know, so lucky to be here and I've worked really hard. And so I'm looking in thinking, oh, let's get some emotion here.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe
tell
it doesn't
us about
me.
The boat. It's like, yeah, bro, I came on a plane for
yeah.
one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was all paid for.
My visa sorted over there.
Yeah, mate, I actually was born in Berwick.
And so, yeah, we look in and maybe, do you think people get the wrong idea of you?
Well, I don't know what people think of me.
I think that I think that from a comedy point of view, there's sort of the cliche, which is the crying clown, or I think that part of it is that I can relate to so much of the stuff that you're saying, but I feel like I've got a bit of that sort of manic depressive sort of thing going on where I'll be running your, I look at your highs and I can really relate to the highs, but then I'm like, oh, I can actually get really dark and sad.
See, I've been really lucky. I was never depressed about, you know, my sexuality, my life. Like I'm pretty much like, I feel like relatively normal. I had a good upbringing, have a great family. I like to be like alone and isolated, so I do that really well. So that, yeah. You know, I'm happy with that, and everything's really great. But I watched Hannah Gadsby just did a Netflix special.
Mm-hmm.
And she spoke about how her comedy was a way to accept her sexuality, because she's a lesbian. And she was saying that the reason why she's quitting comedy is because she's making so many jokes about herself to cope with being a lesbian that she feels like she's... she says it so much better than I do. Mm. But she's putting... coming to terms with it in the comedy... away from the comedy. So she can't come to terms with it. Yeah. She's making jokes about it. So she wants to leave comedy forever and just accept who she is. And I think I related similar to that in the weight issue. Like I make so many jokes about it because it's so obvious. And it's like I'm going to Brisbane this afternoon in a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
We better wrap this up. and I haven't seen family for, you know, a couple of months, and I'm terrified because I know as soon as they see me, they're going to go, oh, sure, he's put on a few. So I try and diffuse that instantly by going, oh, look how fat I got. Mm. I'm eating so much food. And I hate it.
Yeah.
And that's why I've joined a gym. That's why I'm eating a lot of Revita now. And
wait, what's Revita?
It's like cardboard.
Like the Kruskets.
Yeah.
Man, when I was a kid, like, that feels... I remember eating so many Kruskets as a kid.
Don't live on your own or you start eating cardboard. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. It's
well, no, but see, I think living on my own has made it harder because as my mum said, she's like, just find someone. Even if you don't want to live with someone, just find someone that can cook and then it'll be easier for you and then they'll hold you accountable because I don't hold myself accountable for anything. Mm. If I'm like tired and can't be bothered, I'll be like, oh, Uber Eats, Halal snack pack.
Yeah.
And so... I'm starting to get like really unhealthy, like even sitting on the floor like I am now, it kills me.
Come sit next to me. It's fine.
I'm too scared. And
or something, you know, really did happen on this couch.
Yeah. Yeah, why? Yeah, you were so funny about not sitting on the couch. Now it's all coming, like it's all making sense now.
Well, no, it's also, oh, this is so ridiculous. The way it feeds in well to what I'm talking about. The way I sit on the couch, oh, it's so unflattering.
Look at me now.
What are you?
Yeah, but you've lost so much weight.
But I still just come feel
sit on
like
the couch. I need like to see this. I'm going to sit on the floor God. Now.
No, no, no. But like this couch, because the seating's so far back, it pushes the gut forward. Like, yeah, but, see, it puts you on a weird angle where it just pushes all your fat forward.
Oh no, I can.
So I usually like put the cushion.
You do a bit of that gear.
Put the cushion in front and sort of hide.
Yeah,
no, I can. So the what I was going to say is the healthy snack pack. I reckon getting the lamb. And then getting like a tabbouleh or something underneath, and that being it would be like, then you've just got.
Yeah, but the problem
fine,
is.
But it's not a halal snack pack.
No, you're just having tabbouleh with lamb.
But that's, don't you think that's just as, can be just as yummy, or maybe not?
Yeah, but then the problem is that is where can I get that instantly?
Yeah.
Like Uber Eats and Fedora, it's all well, it's not all unhealthy, but it's all pretty much unhealthy.
Yeah.
And the healthy stuff, I just don't find filling enough.
Yeah.
Well, your videos are making a lot of people happy.
That's good. I love doing them. Make me happy.
And so that is that your happy place?
Yeah. Like I like entertaining people, and seeing it do well is very motivating.
Mm.
And it's funny listening to a lot of creative people talk about how they're not happy with stuff, or they leave things and they don't put it up, like graphic designers. Mm. I'm sure you, Josh, have filmed stuff that you're not happy with. You want to do a little bit of tweaking here and there. Uh-huh. And you spend all this time on stuff. I'm really lucky in my brain. I don't give a fuck. Like, I've done something. Can I do it better? Yeah, of course I can. I don't have time. Up it goes.
Next.
Like, yeah. But, and then I find that people, it still gets received just as well. You know how they say you're your worst self-critic?
You're your own biggest critic?
Yeah. But, like, I'm luckily, I don't assess, or I'm not very critical of my stuff. And it's all, you look at it, it's pretty shit. It's very basic. I'm a video producer for a big radio station, which does the national afternoon show.
Mm.
And we've got $200 handy cams in the studio.
Mm.
And that's it. And it doesn't record sound.
That must upset so many digital content. Like, do you get the sense that, I remember I saw an Insta story recently where you're showing someone else doing their
Casey.
Show.
Yeah. But see, my the way I operate versus the way Casey operates, who also works on a national drive show, but he's so he's like, I feel like he's like the two of you, so professional. He loves that. He loves the gear. He loves talking tech. He loves improving and making things, whereas I'm just like, let's just film it and get it up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not as invested in things.
Well, if we're looking at the success metric, connection doesn't, you know, if good gear, expensive cameras doesn't equal connecting with an audience.
Mm.
And so you can pull out your iPhone and get 40,000 times the attention that I can with my phone, but it's because you've done it. You've connected and built a little cult.
Yeah, I think, and people don't really care. Clients care.
Clients,
yeah.
They want the professional stuff, but when if you can get out your phone quicker than you can running and getting a camera and putting a little SD card in and filming something, and then you lighting and just...
For people that come to this podcast because they've seen your name on it, and we will leverage...
I'll share it.
It's all about the...
No, but like if they think, okay, what does Christian do? He makes all these videos. What does he make any money? Like, is that a job?
Yeah, well, I'm starting to make some good money.
Yeah, boy.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yep.
You deserve it, though. You put in a shitload of effort.
I have... Look, I've always been like really quiet and been like, oh, stop it, don't. But I put in a fuckload of effort.
Yeah.
It's like having two full-time jobs. I've got my 9 to 5 and then I come home and I've got like another 9 to 5. And so I think that's also why I've put on a lot of weight, is because all my energy goes into sitting at a computer and editing, you know, for 18 hours a day. And I put in a lot of work and I really enjoyed it. And then I started seeing it do really well. And now I've got a manager and now... you know, she's bringing in some good clients, and now I'm doing some like videos for people who are paying, you know, a good chunk of money for. And I always say, show them my stuff and show them how little effort I put in, because I'm going to do exactly that for them. And it's great because I put in such, it's so insane. Like, oh, you've sold this for X amount of dollars. And I go, great. And then it'll take me half an hour.
Yeah, it's honest content. It's something that Tommy really talks about and strives to do, which is, yeah, it's you're being authentic. You're not trying to overbake it. And when you're not overbaking it, I think it allows for the content to shine.
You've done a lot. Like your O-Bike. See, as soon as you do your O-Bike fishing, which is O-Bikes are bikes that you can log on all around Melbourne and just ride somewhere and leave.
Yeah.
And they were all in the Yarra.
Yeah.
And you just... went in and fished them out.
Yeah, it's very simple.
So well. They got a lot of media attention.
The thought around it was I was interested first and foremost, and then my curiosity led me down this rabbit hole.
Mm.
And then I thought, fuck, they're in the water. Mm. Imagine if I fished them out. O-Bike fishing. I think I said to Josh the name before I even made the video.
So great.
And then it worked. But it was only, like, I've always led, and that honest thing is always about doing what I'm curious or interested in, which then will shine, and maybe some other people will gravitate towards that.
Was the 1,000 steps walk?
Yeah, 1,000 steps. How many steps are at the 1,000 steps?
I just counted them. And how many were there? There wasn't.
There's 1,000.
Oh, there was.
No, sorry. There was 728. Something like that.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. My girlfriend, I always say that on this podcast. My wife, who had my baby. A lot more than my girlfriend. But at the time, she was my girlfriend. And she said she didn't believe in that video. And only because she didn't get it. She's from Sydney. She's like, why would you count steps? But what that taught her was to trust in my direction of it.
Mm.
And I didn't know if it would work. And when you made that one about the nurses, did you know that would work? When do you know something will work?
Well, you don't. You just...
How annoying is that?
Yeah, a lot of the ones that I thought, I'm like, this is going to be so funny and so great. I'm like, oh, that did shit. And some of my favourite ones, because they're really obscure, don't do that well. So I find like, I like doing all the videos that I do, but you can go into an angle and do something like, oh, I'll do something on mums. That I've got a huge mum audience. I know that will rate really well. And then I'll do something weird that I like to do over here. And I know that probably won't do as well, but we'll see.
It's like I've got videos that definitely haven't done as well, but I love making them. They're my favourite.
Yeah.
And they didn't get the numbers, but it didn't matter because I love fucking making it.
Yeah. It can be a bit disheartening.
Yeah.
But then I just go, well, that's another one in the YouTube catalogue that will eventually, someone will see it and share it at one point, it'll go off. You know, like
you
build this whole catalogue of videos and content that you know people will trawl through and watch. I think that's how I initially went and how I initially started is when you start, you're going to get nobody.
Mm-hmm.
But you're slowly building.
Well, you're the inspiration for this podcast in a lot of ways because when I...
Less the smut.
Less the smut.
Actually, no, we do appreciate it.
A little bit of smut. No, when I was interviewing you for the little doco I made on you, you were talking about your podcast and how you did 50 episodes before you told anyone.
Yeah.
And that was something that, like an ethos that we brought to our own show, The Daily Talk Show, when we started, was we did 20 episodes and didn't tell anyone.
Mm.
And it's that repetition and it's a lot of those things of just like done is better than, what is it? Like, done is better than great or whatever it is. Or...
Yeah, like that's how I feel about videos and everything that I do. Mm. Do it. You've got an audience there that loves what you do. They'll love whatever you do, as long as you don't go and, you know, do some sort of really offensive, Nazi content or, they love what you do. So just do it.
Yeah.
And don't stress about it and don't freak out. Like, I know my podcast is so shitty. Like, I listen to it. It's shit. But people just love hearing the crap that I say for God knows why. And so I just do it. And
you're underestimating the skill of being able to talk by yourself and say funny shit, which is your podcast. You say very relatable things, and the one about the flat earth I was listening to the other day.
Oh, yeah.
It's just an interesting take. Is this what's going on in the Christian Hull head? Are we seeing online the goings on in your head?
Yeah, it's exactly, that's exactly it. And it's very often different random tangents, and I'll remember things and...
I turned one off the other day because it was making me sad.
Nan dying?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was a great...
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you cried a bit.
Now. No, well, so I went to Sydney recently, and my 96-year-old nan passed away while I was over there because that's where I'm from. And so I was lucky to be with my family. I mean, she probably should have died 18 months ago. Mm. Really, you know, in a nursing home, can't move, all that awful stuff. And so mum and her two sisters, because it was my mum's mum, were organising the funeral. And Nan introduced us all to the Vicar of Dibley. And so I get really sad. And I didn't realise how strong my connection with my nan was, because I get really sad about her passing away. And mum decided to play the theme from The Vicar of Dibley at the funeral, which has sadly ruined the show for me, because now, like, even talking about it, I get really upset. Yeah. And so it was such a fun, lighthearted theme, and it was a great service, and it was really nice. But then I, in the podcast, I was like, I'll just play the theme now, it'll be so funny. Oh, and no. I played it, I was like, it was really sad. But I've never really had to deal with death so much. I've lost an uncle and another friend when I was quite younger. Mm. And when you get older, maybe you're just terrified because you're getting older. But
yeah,
you know, when you lose someone that's been so consistent in your life the whole time,
it's nothing what you think.
No,
you can't. It's like never having bungee jump. You can't explain what it's like.
Yeah,
losing people is different.
No,
for
well, it's
everyone.
Like the equivalent of bungee jumping, but then every fifth friend that bungee jumps hits the fucking ground. Like, that's what death is, right?
You realize the mortality that you have. Like you said, it's like,
yeah.
And how weird are funerals? Like,
Josh live streamed his grandma's.
Yeah, my nana's funeral.
He filmed it at the back.
What?
Because she was pretty boss. Like, they had like over a dozen priests at her funeral at the front. It was like a real big,
a lot of people
deal.
There.
Yeah, there was a fair few.
Live streamed it for his brother in the States.
Yeah.
It's okay. There's so much context you've just
but I left it
live
out.
Streamed it to get followers. No, the rest of you really could watch.
Content, Christian.
It's such a clickbait.
Yeah,
of.
No.
Josh live streams his grandmother's funeral.
It's a classic Tommy move if I've ever heard one. But no, it's the funerals are a weird thing because it's funny. I remember saying to I don't like funerals or I don't like hospitals. And the reality is. What the fuck was that, by the way, Christian?
There
was just
know.
A noise. As long as nothing's catching on
my,
fire.
My guess, it was an old milk bottle or something that was squashed, a bottle that popped.
It's the cranberry juice I just threw in the bin. Okay. Yes, okay, the cranberry juice bottle. Good.
Secret Sam, where's my 10K?
Yes. I'd like to guess a milk bottle in the pantry.
You wouldn't
so
have,
close.
You wouldn't have got it, though.
Yeah, it's
cranberry juice.
But the... yeah,
it's my nan. Stop talking about me.
The funny thing is, like, I remember saying, like, I don't like hospitals, don't like funerals. Reality is, not many people do.
Oh, no one
no.
does.
No. And
they're
so it then becomes
scary.
Then it becomes this, like, you just need to work out how to cope. But there's so much anxiety associated with the.
Oh, my gosh.
Because everyone's weird. Everyone,
it
like,
was so weird. It's like, it was just our family. Like, we decided not to do friends and everything because it was. I think it was just a bit stressful to organise something where everyone can come.
Mm.
So mum and her sister were like, just family. But even then it was, you change, your whole demeanour, you go, hello, yes, good to see you. You're like, you know, hug, 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 and then quiet. And then, like, our family is the loudest family in the world. Yeah. But we were, it was weird. And then I was, last minute, the people who were organising the funeral were like, okay, Christian, so what you and your brothers will do is then I'll give the nod and you walk up and you'll take the casket to the car. And I was like, what? Take the I can't. Look at me. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, no, Nan was small. She'll be so light. And then when I get there, I'm in the front corner taking all the weight. Holy shit, it weighed a ton. But then we were, we'd made a joke just before, which really lightened the mood. My other cousin was like, oh, my God, can you imagine if we drop her and she rolls out?
But there is that, like, the, because the thing is with a lot of this dark stuff is it's... the, what you were talking about at the beginning, which is sort of the respectful...
How you handle yourself.
Yeah, I didn't even know, like, are you allowed to... Like, I was saying hello to the one of the priests, you know, do you... I had no concept of, like, do you shake priests' hands? Do you do... Like, I was treating them like they were the Pope.
Yeah.
I had no fucking idea.
Mm. And everyone's quiet.
Yeah.
When my grandpa died, my mum and I were in the room to see him. This was not... This is my dad's mum, so not my mum's dad.
Right.
And we're in there
just said
saying goodbye.
Your dad's mum.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So
hospital
room? So sorry.
You're fine.
My grandpa died and it wasn't my mum's dad.
Yeah.
So my mum and I are standing there saying goodbye. And we were in this moment and I laughed and my mum started laughing. And I'll tell you why.
Oh, funny.
My mum was trying to close his mouth. And it was just, I saw my mum doing it. I was like, this is the most ridiculous thing you were ever doing in your life, Joanne. And we just started laughing. And it seems like the wrong response in that moment. But we weren't, it wasn't laughing in that kind of way. But there is a lightheartedness because you were so raw. And I'm just like, mum, and we hugged and just laughed together. Mm. Which was our emotional response in that moment, which probably isn't the right thing.
I don't think there is a right or a wrong.
I remember mum would feed Nan. And every time mum would, like, go to put the food in her mouth, mum would open her mouth and be like, and it was so funny. And because the whole, she couldn't not, she'd try to think about closing her mouth, but then she was so focused on closing her mouth that she'd, like, push the food into Nan's cheek because she wasn't paying attention. So my brothers and I were just, like, we were, like, Nan was, like, not in a good spot. But, like, just it was so funny. And it's like, oh, should we be laughing at this? Nan's dying. And then you stop. Nah, it's fine.
I feel like I don't spend enough time thinking about sad things. Like, I actively avoid it. There were Bree was. We were at a cafe the other day, and Bree saw sort of an older man who was in a wheelchair, and he was sort of, his hands were sore from it being cold, and he was sort of rubbing it, and he didn't look well, and she got quite emotional. And, like, when I got into the place and I was thinking about it, I got really sad as well.
Mm.
And then in that moment, there was sort of this fire in me to sort of do something. Like, what can I do? How can I contribute? Yeah. Do you find that you have, though, like, how much time do you spend in sort of sadness, do you think?
Oh, sometimes I go to the really dark places.
Yeah.
And it's really funny because I did another podcast with Jez Khan, you know Jez?
Yeah.
And he said something very similar. Mm. It's like, does your head ever go into these weird dark places? So dark. Like, I'll go really dark where I'll think, like, what happens if mum and dad died on the plane crash, like, when they were flying to Europe? What if they died? What eulogy? Who would they pick to do the eulogy? Like, and then I'll be thinking and I'll be going to, and I'm like, whoa. Oh, my God, why are you going here?
Yeah.
Like, it's really... But I'm never, like, I'm never... Oh, sometimes I'll get a bit sad about it. But I'm usually like, okay, here's what I do. Or imagine if my brother died. Like, how would I feel? Would I have to quit my job? Or how would I emotionally handle something like that? Mm. Do I need to prepare for something like that just in case? And then I'll get into these really weird, dark spots.
Mm.
I think it's human, though. I think...
Is it?
Some people
I've
don't...
I've spoken about it with Jez.
Yeah.
I haven't spoken about it on, like, my stuff because I just think it's... Is it weird that you think about...
I think people go... Like, I think my mind tries to fuck with me sometimes by going super dark.
Yeah.
So it's the...
like, do you go to dark... Like, there's a knife. What if I stab Tommy
It's
right
a little
now?
Bit, yeah.
It's like, what would you push... Imagine if I push this person in front of the oncoming train right now.
Yeah. Like,
but
definitely...
you're never going to do it. We're all...
But I literally... Like, the scariest one, which I planted in my brain and I can't get rid of,
oh my God,
is grabbing is whenever I see a gun on a police officer, is just
I thought about the
grabbing of the gun.
What if I take the gun right now? Like, could I get it out of the holster? Yeah, I've thought about that.
And
that
probably not, but
that scares the fuck. It was it's enough to. I know that I would never, ever, ever do it, but I'm like, how is this not happening? Like, if I'm having this thought, how many people have, you know, are in a dark place? And all, like, it was, it's scary when you
we're
can...
We're all containing the monster.
Here's a weird, really weird curveball that you don't feel to answer because I know it's a really hot topic at the moment. But this is the sort of the debate between, can we fix the issue with the 22-year-old girl that was, you know, murdered, raped and murdered in the park? Eurydice Dixon, he was just walking through the park, and a lot of people are saying we need to teach men good behaviour, which we absolutely do.
Yeah,
but a lot of us know not to do that.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of people who have mental issues, who probably have those thoughts and then actually act on them. Is how do you then, how do you fix that problem? Because we all know, like men and women know, let's not murder someone. You know, not to murder someone because it's probably going to be traumatic for the person doing the murder. It ruins your life. It ruins someone else's life. It's
you realise the consequences. The
consequences. Like, we all know that. But then there's people who just have severe mental problems who can't work that out.
They can't see empathy. They can't see all those sorts
and
of things.
And so I don't know in the case of the guy that actually, this 19-year-old who killed her, but he ended up handing himself in. So surely he wasn't mentally unwell, or he had an episode, or how do you fix that problem?
Well, I think that's like the big issue, right? Like, it's all like, we all feel like we there's a communal responsibility that we all have as a society, that if this happens, that we should try and do something. Like, what can we do?
But do you think we're becoming so back in the early, you know, like the 70s and 80s, like Harvey Weinstein-esque, he thought he could get away with it because there was no way that people could become hyper aware of what he was doing. Now you've got Facebook and Twitter and everything, and, you know, I'll drop a pen and everyone suddenly knows exactly what I'm doing. Are we mistaking being super hyper aware for progress happening? We just know it's happening. Like, you had the acting community knew it was happening, but it wasn't enough people to really cause a change.
Yeah.
Then the public became aware through Facebook and Twitter and through all those avenues. So now everyone knows, so we have to do something about it.
So there's a lot more noise than there once was.
Yeah, but my worry is that it's just noise. Will anything actually change?
Well, I think that the hard thing is, has there been really clear, distinct actions that we can take? I guess that was the frustration that a lot of people had. It's like, look after your own personal safety and things like that. But what is it that we, because obviously the majority of people won't rape and murder someone, but what can we do to stop those people from doing it? I get there's obviously the stuff around the locker room sort of chat and stuff like that. But it's it's interesting. There is a bit of helplessness.
But I think maybe that's what that noise is. People are feeling helpless. And that noise that we're hearing, and everyone going to a vigil is the sign that no one knows how to fucking fix this just yet. Otherwise, I think we would be talking around the points that have been put forward that everyone needs to be a part of.
I even feel like sometimes, you know, speaking from experience, I've had things happen where I'll raise an issue and nothing's done about it. But I know if 4 or 5 people raise the issue, something will get done.
Yeah.
But I raise the issue back here. If you did something back here, you wouldn't have 4 or 5 people raising the issue up here. So it's sort of like maybe it's because I've just had a bad experience, but I sort of feel like that's going to happen forever, where you got one person that something's happened to them. It's like, well, it's just one person. Oh, now we've got 10 people and now it's happened. Let's do something now.
Yeah.
It's like, well, if you did something back when the one person brought it to you, You wouldn't have nine people who you fucked over.
Yeah.
You made a video, what was the name of it? And it was centered around sort of women's experience with men. And it was around
Yeah, I made it after this Eurydice, sort of after she was murdered. It was everyone is sort of saying what should now happen. Like everyone wants a solution right now and they go, here it is. And it's obviously that's, you can't just make a solution overnight. But I find that I'm not a real, people don't turn to me in a crisis or whatever. Mm. Like they come to my channel for humor. So I thought, well, how can I reflect on the craziness that is women going out at night, which, you know, people are saying they shouldn't do, and always have a phone and always all the steps so that women can't get raped and murdered. And I was like, that's really funny. Like,
yeah.
There's actually steps in place for women so they can't get raped and murdered.
You've seen the stupidity.
Yeah, it was so dumb. And so my dumb things were like, you know, don't go outside because you'll be raped and murdered because you're a woman. Stay inside where your partner will probably domestically beat you up. So maybe don't stay inside. So go outside. So, like, just become a man. You know, like,
yeah.
I love that. I put on my Trish voice to do that. But it was just so ridiculous because you look at all the different advice from all the different, you know, the police, the media, friends and family, and they're all saying all different things. And it's like, well, how do I not, as a woman, how do you not get murdered?
Yeah.
How do you
come to terms with, I guess, being a male voice within these conversations?
It was Trish.
Yeah. No, I put on a wig and became a woman. I always up front go, okay, this is a perspective from a 31-year-old gay white male who had a pretty good upbringing. Mm. This is where I'm coming from. And I was pretty honest. I was like, I can't relate at all to this. Yeah. I can walk down the street. I go to parks at nighttime.
Yeah.
You know, for hanging. you know, like I can't relate
walking
to this at all. But I see it as such a awful, horrible thing that, you know, women have to go through if they want to go, you know, if you want to get to IGA from here at nighttime, you have to walk past a lot of dodgy places.
Yeah.
And if I was a woman, I probably wouldn't.
Because you've made YouTube videos about like different names for vaginas and stuff like that.
Yeah. So here's the weird thing is the video before I made that, I posted, it was like different names for your penis.
Mm.
And I was like, am I being really hypocritical here? Because I start to go, okay, I need to see the content I'm making, I see it in a whole different light every time there's sort of something goes on or I get a lot of feedback. I go, okay, how is this a really hypocritical message? Because I'm, you know, I did one that was, you know, different names for your vagina.
Yeah.
And someone said, oh, you're making fun of women. And I was like, oh, shit. Am I though? Like, I'm a 31-year-old straight gay guy. My intention wasn't to do that. It was just saying funny names for your vagina. And, which is a stupid video. And a lot of people are like, no, this is great. And then you get all that. No, this, it's different if it's comedy. You get that whole debate comes in. You know, like, can you make rape jokes?
Yeah.
And then a lot of comedians are like, yeah, of course, it's comedy. You can make lighthearted jokes about anything. But then it's sort of like, can you though? And then you've got to look at the way you deliver it and your message and then how your audience will perceive that. And I'm pretty lucky that a lot of people know my intentions. I'm not controversial. I don't ever set out to offend. I'm pretty safe.
Mm-hmm.
So they, if I do something bad, which I haven't and hopefully don't, I think people will be... Like, I've been told I've been skirting a thin line for something that I did.
Do you listen to in those cases? Who's telling you that sort of stuff?
The people who watch the videos. Like, they'll send a message and it's always really nice. It's like, hey, I know this wasn't your intention, but this is my situation and this is how I've taken this video. I'm sure there are other people will. And I go, ah, no, I don't want that to happen. And so sometimes I'll diffuse it by writing a comment saying...
Yeah,
justifying your justification.
Like, or I'll put... This is so rare. This is literally with one video.
Mm.
And especially that Eurydice video, I was so nervous. I sent it to it's the first video I've ever sent to someone to go, am I being really insensitive here?
Yeah.
And who'd they're like, no, it's a friend of mine that works in news. There goes the Nan again.
Yeah.
She works in news and she was talking a lot about it. And she's quite a sensitive person when it comes to this.
Yeah.
So she said that was fine. But then I stayed and for an hour and a half, I read every comment that came in and it was about 98% good. And there was, you know, there was a few people that were like, this is too soon. And a lot of people are like, no, it's never too soon to talk about this. And people just sort of have it out in the comments. But I was replying to a lot of them and reading a lot of them, and you see people's opinions. And people will always, they will always be offended by something that you do. Whatever video I put up, someone will always be offended. So you can't get upset when someone does. And usually if someone on a comment says they're really offended, I'll leave them. Whatever, go away. But if they send me a direct message, I know that they didn't want to do it publicly. Yeah. They didn't want anyone to read it, and it's really come from a good place. So I'll reply to that, and usually they're not angry. Like, no one's ever been angry. A lot of dads and boyfriends, their partners will watch my stuff, and so they hear it and they get really angry. So
and then
like,
they
how do I unfollow this bullshit page? Shut the fuck up. And I'm just like, ha ha ha. And so I write to them. Yeah. I go, this always wins them over. It's great. I go, oh no, it's super easy. When you see a bit of my content, there's a little arrow. You click it and you go hide everything. And I was like, if you really don't want to hear me at all, go into your wife's page and do the same for her so she never sees me. And they always go, ha, you're so funny. No, I love your stuff. It's fine.
Maybe they think you're unattainable. They write this message thinking that you're not a person. Not that they don't.
Some people think I'm a business that have like a sea of people replying to messages.
Yeah. Well, I think also people get triggered by different things, right? And sometimes if what you're saying is maybe requiring a little bit of self-reflection on how they are or their ideologies or how they view the world, if it's a little bit different, it can sometimes be a bit confronting.
Well, I think
as
if you reply to a really negative comment with, you know, like, you're a good sport about it, people like really go, oh, such a good sport about that. What a nice person. Rather than like they want you to reply with, yeah, fine, I'm going to fucking ban you, stupid dickhead.
Yeah.
That's what they want. Like, they want you to have an argument. So you just don't have an argument.
Do you think you're a people pleaser?
Yes. I try. Like, any negative comments, I still want to be, but someone said to me, it's really unfair that you only reply to negative comments because you've got all the positive comments and they would desperately love for you to reply, and then all the haters, you're giving them all your attention.
It's such a common issue though. So many people, I was listening to the Osher Ginsberg podcast and he had Guy Sebastian who literally gave that exact example. Someone wrote to him and said something really negative, and Guy wrote back and said, you don't even know me. And someone messaged him and said, hey, I've tweeted you hundreds of times in the last like 3 years saying positive stuff, and this person said one negative thing.
Yeah.
Well, as much as we think we're good at constructive criticism or criticism, taking it on board, it does. It cuts deep, and I think that's the creative things that we do. These are extensions of our thoughts. Look inside your head, and then people are going,
that's shit.
You think shit.
Yeah. You're dumb.
Yeah.
Go away. I'm like, oh, all right. You can just delete my... leave me alone.
Is the... do you have any sort of brand filters or values or like what's your mission? What's your goal? What's your...
Here's the deep questions again.
Josh is good at deep questions.
I don't think I have a mission or a goal. It's just sort of make lighthearted content that people can be entertained by.
Do you think that's how you've got as far as you have?
Yes, I think being consistent, and it's like you said before, things that you are passionate about that you may not realize is super relatable, you'll do the 1,000 steps video or the O-bike fishing and everyone's thinking exactly the same thing, and you put it out there. Here's a weird example. I'm addicted to nasal spray, right? So I got a cold. I used it for like, it was like, 2 months before I realized I've been using this for so long. And then I read the package and it said, don't use for more than 3 days. So a year later, I'm still going. And I just casually mention it in a video. Like, oh, I'm addicted to nasal spray. So many people are addicted to nasal spray.
What's the addictive bit? What is
because it clears. And
so
then
what
you
it does is, it. I've researched this. So it opens up your nose so you can breathe. So when you have a sinus problem, it just forces your nose open. So when that heals... what your nose wants to do is close over, and because it becomes all really dry, and it closes over to fix itself.
Yeah.
And so, but what it does is it puts so much pressure on your sinuses that it hurts. And then I end up sounding like this and I can't physically breathe at all. And it's really uncomfortable. So
do you get anxiety?
Yeah. Oh, I have 3 bottles down in the bedroom. I have two at work. I have two at Channel 10 at my work. I've got one in my laptop bag.
What's the out? I've been there. I've been addicted to
it. Have you? How did you get off it?
Well, I didn't. I definitely wasn't. Maybe closer to the 3 month mark, and then just stopped. But yeah, because it's almost like if you don't use it, you won't. You can't sniff.
Yeah.
You can't breathe. But then, yeah, when you do use it, it opens up. So if you stop, you're in trouble.
But I can't sleep because as soon as my nose, I just so uncomfortable. I just can't fall asleep.
Do you think you have sleep apnea? Maybe have you looked at that? Is it like some of the.
Is that when you snore?
Yeah, my mate nasal, but it's all connected to sinuses and stuff like that.
No, I reckon it's just the nasal spray. Because instant relief as soon as you.
So you've been doing it for over
three years.
3 years.
Yeah, and people have written to me going, I was addicted for, 2.5 years and had to go and have surgery and have my sinuses bloody removed. Maybe not the sinuses removed, but they had severe surgery and they were like, it's awful. Like, stop doing it now. Trust me. I'm like, I can't.
Have you got to a point where you go to different chemists?
No, but I never ask. When I go into a chemist, I've had a couple of experiences where I go, I think I have a cold and I need some nasal spray. Wow. Where are they? And they go, this is a good one. I go, where's the Dimetapp? Where is it?
Yeah.
And someone's like, why this one? And I'm like, don't ask, just give me it. That's like, I am an addict. And
they probably
No, I'm not. I don't want to sell it to you if you're addicted. I'm like, don't you not sell it to me. Here's some saline and some whatnot. And then.
What's saline?
It's just like
salty water.
Yeah,
The natural ones. I once got really pissed off because I went into this chemist and I was traveling, and they're like, "Oh, this one will work. This is good. This is natural." I was like, "Oh, okay." Reluctant.
Ugh,
I made that mistake
on Travacarm, the natural one, which is just ginger. Just chewing on it, just fucking wanting to vomit on the boat. Just going this bullshit.
Oh, yeah, no, natural remedies, I mean, they're better, but no, I just want the really terrible chemicals.
Drugs work.
Yeah, drugs are great. And so now when I go into a chemist, I just don't make eye contact. I'm like, no, I'm fine, and I'll just peruse until I find it. Because I know the chemist down from where I work, like I buy it, it's like once every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yes. They've questioned me once, but I'm like, oh, whatever.
That's full of, has it affected your nose or anything? Like...
Not yet.
Yeah. It's
I don't know. Well, sometimes I'll maybe it has. I'll blow my nose and there's lots of blood. I'm like, better get that blood out.
It's not the cocaine you're doing.
that bowl was a...
it's not ideal. Well, yeah,
probably worth going to the doctor on that one.
I avoid the doctor.
Do you know, there's a big push on men going to the doctors because there's a lot of men who aren't happy.
Why? Especially
for depression and stuff.
Well, but also like get the put the fingers in the bum.
Well, I think it's if it's
prostate.
Yeah.
Do you need me to test your prostate?
Yeah.
A few prostates been tested in this household.
Yeah, I'm not going to deny that.
The title of the show. You're employed at the moment. Is there? Do you have a desire to be self-employed?
At the moment.
After these episodes.
Oh, yeah. Look, exactly. After people I work with hear my podcast and hear the things that I do, and I'm still surprised that I've got a job. I mean, the company I work for was like, give us your podcast or a podcast platform. And I was like, have you listened to it yet? Like, yeah, it's pretty out there. Like,
Do you worry that in the... So the Me Too.
Oh my God! I know where you're going with this.
It's very funny. It's got a lot of smut. It's got all that sort of thing. You know, like with where everything's going. Like, how do you find the balance?
I do worry that this is not funny. That in 20 years' time, I will be like the Harvey Weinstein. But I'm not touching up other people. It's all consensual. Mm. It's just in a park where it's actually, it's
and
illegal.
You're talking about it and things like that. But what's the sensitivity? Have you changed any of your actions or how you communicate things? Or maybe... Because you ham things up a little bit sometimes, right? So you'll take something like a simple idea of checking someone out at the gym.
Oh, yeah.
But then rather than saying, checking a guy out at the gym, it's like, I'm thinking about a guy at the gym about fucking turning him over and all that sort of
thing. It's like I'll make a situation of 20 seconds into a 20-minute podcast. Like, I'm really good at just stretching out content. I've changed a lot of my actions. Since This makes me sound like I'm like a little Harvey.
But no,
like,
I think it's just about being
Eurydice
more
as well. Like, yeah. Again, it's like how other people talk about women, like if they're being derogatory. I'm not at the level where I feel comfortable going, don't say that.
Yeah.
Like they shouldn't. And I know I should say, let's don't talk about that. I'll just like not be involved.
I definitely feel that.
And a lot of people have texted me some things. You know, or have you seen this photo? And I'm like, I'm just not going to reply. Yeah. Or, you know, conversations at work. Like, oh my God, I can't believe she's wearing that. I'm like, oh, I just don't want to be involved.
Mm.
Like, it's just small things.
So you see the danger and you're removing
I can
yourself.
See... not like the danger.
You see the...
Well, I see the effect. I reckon the effect in the long run will be a positive one. Like the first step is not being involved in conversations about how people look.
Mm.
So don't be involved in it. People just do... You do you. You know, look at me.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I'm no prize.
But I mean, it's the weird thing is that I've been employed at radio stations and that like there was... A time where celebrity gossip, like that's a thing that you do, right?
Yeah,
I remember.
The show's still dedicated to how people look and the red carpets and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like the first step is don't get involved. Don't have you don't need an opinion on how she looks or.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next step will be maybe trying to persuade people to not talk like that. Like I always say, I hate the word when people say retarded.
Yeah.
My mum went with special needs kids for years and that really taught me don't say, oh, that's retarded. So I've trained myself for every time I feel that I was going to use that word, I'd say moron.
Yeah.
And so now I naturally, I just don't say retarded anymore. I say moron. Yeah. And now, you know, 4 or 5 years later, I'll be like, don't use that word. Use moron instead.
We had a guest on who just casually, and you could see he was sort of correcting at the time, said the word gay is something that's a bit lame.
Yeah. Well, people judge you on your actions, not your intentions. And he was never intending to use the word gay in terms of homosexual people.
Yeah.
Or, you know, but people don't take it.
My brother
like
still
that.
Says that.
Yeah. Mm. And it's definitely, I think it's the interesting thing is... And it's something that I'm still working on and it sounds like you are too. It's like when is it worth being the squeaky wheel or saying something, like being the sort of the fun police and saying, guys, this isn't okay.
It's being people are like, are we becoming too PC? And again, like Hannah Gatsby said it really well. She's like, I know I'm really sensitive, but it's not a disadvantage. Being really sensitive is an advantage. It's so clever and now I've totally forgotten it. She was like, my sensitivity means I treat people with respect and I know what I can and can't say and what's nice and what's not nice. Your insensitivity is really the problem.
Yeah.
Like, so, because people would go up to her and be like, oh, you should do more lesbian jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And then she'd say something and they'd be like, oh, don't be so sensitive. And she's like, no, you're just insensitive. I'm not sensitive. Being sensitive isn't the problem. It's being so insensitive that's the problem.
Yeah. So how do you counter the thing that you were saying you do with your family? Pointing out your weight. How do you counter that for yourself?
I'll gladly call out my brother, but sometimes it's just... He's such a bloke.
Just kick him in the dick.
kick him in the dick. It's intention versus... Like his intentions are fine, but I'm maybe don't use that word. I'll say that.
Mm.
My other, so I've got triplet brothers. So
you're a triplet.
No,
he's
not.
Can you imagine
your bros are triplets?
Yeah, so I've got
Holy
three
shit.
Younger brothers.
How and annoying. So,
yeah. Oh, no, it's so fun. Annoying for mum and dad.
Yeah.
Nick, when I was out but not out, like it was, you could tell.
Yeah.
Like I'm super gay. And we were at the dinner table and Nick was, he was been year 12. I was still living at home and he was talking about one of his teachers and he hated this teacher and he was like, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, oh, he's just so gay. And he like held on it. Okay, right. He's great. And then he just filled his mouth with food so he couldn't talk. And it was really like, it was so funny. And it was sort of sweet because he's like, oh, I can't say that anymore. You know, like Christian's gay. Like, so what do I do? And so he sort of really like mid sentence could go right. And that's the end of that conversation. and I was like, oh, that's nice. Like, the situation that they're in now, now that I'm gay and they know someone, they've sort of changed. So I think that change and that fun police happens when you can really see the, but it's the a
personal
effect of it.
I think it's a personal journey as well in a lot of ways. So being, I think that for your brother, he had to have a brother who was gay or something like that. And so that always feels way, I think people are way more empathetic when they actually are surrounding these people, you know, they see these people, they're friends with them, they're sort of connected versus just being told you can't say that.
The homophobic father that has a gay son, they're quickly going to become, if they want a relationship.
Well, you hear that a lot. They're all like, nah, the gays.
Or just blokey blokes.
As soon as they know someone or their friend comes out.
The gays.
Yeah. it's funny how quickly they go, oh, they're not that bad.
Yeah.
My best friend is and I've known him for years. Like, the perception changes.
Has anyone come out of the woodworks? From the time that you know Trisha's become to you know come to life and your success on the internet,
how do you mean come out
as
of
in the haters?
I don't know, people that maybe gave you shit back in the day or
no.
It's good.
No, but I stalk them on Facebook. Some of them I'm like, oh, they got really hot.
You've
like,
got no. now access to them because they're friends or follow you, so you can actually just see their accounts.
And then some I'm like, oh, good. Oh, really, their life's gone downhill. But no, I've got a lot of sort of some old high school friends who were lovely, but like didn't really talk too much.
Yeah.
I've really struck up like some good like internet friends. Like I talked to a couple and they've got kids now and they can really relate to the stuff. And they're like, oh my God, this is so great. And now we've got like this friendly banter, which is really nice.
And so awesome. Complete drivel, you do it every week. Is that still the plan? You can do it for a while?
Yeah. Well, I'm about to sign another 2-year contract.
So that's actually what I was going to say. So, like, Christian is a great example of someone who has taken something that normally... normally you don't... Like, we're not making any money from this, the Daily Talk Show thing, but you've found a way that to have an employer who's willing to...
Only just now, yeah. So it's been... Like, it's a pretty successful podcast, but it's made me nothing.
Yeah.
And so now that...
Or it's made you everything.
Pardon?
Or it's made you everything. Depends on how you look at it.
It's definitely, it's just made nothing.
Money
wise. Seriously, look at his account.
And now that there's a bit of interest from, you know, like two parties, there's interest from two people now.
That's what you want.
You've got that bit of conflict. So now it's this contract.
Now you're playing the game.
Yeah, it's great.
And so do you think that for you, what I was asking before around, you know, being employed by someone, having a boss versus being self-employed, do you have the goals to sort of have your own empire or do you like sort of
what's... Well, I remember that recently there was an opportunity where I was going to sell the podcast for a livable income, for a good, like really good, livable wage, and I was really excited about becoming unemployed and using that to fund Trish and Christian and grow YouTube and everything. And I spoke to you about it because you did something very similar where you left full-time you both did, really. Yeah. You've left full-time employment and now you're doing your own venture.
Yeah.
I'm going to choke and die.
He's a big cough.
It's really dry in here.
I like that you've only done one. Tommy's got a shocking cough at the moment. Yeah, if you're hearing...
I've got something in my throat.
Yeah. But
I think I need some nasal spray.
Do you want something in your throat? Stop. I forgot what I was saying because I was distracted.
We were chatting when you were...
I'm glad that didn't eventuate because I took 2 weeks off and I went to Sydney and that's when Nan died and I was holidaying with Mum and Dad and I was sort of on my own and I was like, I'm so bored. I can't wait to go back to work.
Yeah.
I can't wait to go back to full-time employment. And then I was like, oh, shit. Luckily, this deal has fallen through because I think I would get really antsy and
you need a community.
I've got no boss. And, yes.
And that's what we...
Social interaction.
And that's what we're speaking about too, right?
Because it's forced you, both of you, to sort of... Like you come to my house.
You've got to get out there. Yeah. Like if you'll be a pretty sad and lonely individual if you just
do
it on your own.
I was so sad in that 2 weeks. Yeah. I was like,
I mean,
can't
your
wait
nan
to
had
talk
died
to someone.
As well. Well, which sort of
aside from that.
Yeah. It's sort of.
I was sad about that, but then I was like, oh, I just can't wait to get back to the work friends and you know the show and the where I was a part of a team.
You need to live to create your content because that's where your content comes
from.
Yeah,
and that's another thing. I get a lot of fuel from the people I work with and the mums I work with. You know, they'll I'll overhear one line. I'm like, great, there's a video. Perfect. You know, write that down.
Yeah. What have we been saying? Well, you said it. We need to live a life to... The content will come.
Yeah, that's a common thing within radio, right? Is it's like you've got to be living a life to have something to talk about on air. And so for us with what we're doing, you know, there's been times with the podcast where I've literally been in a bubble where I've been excited about the podcast and all I have to talk about is the podcast.
Yeah.
And it gets real fucking boring real quick.
Sometimes I'm like, I've got nothing.
Yeah.
I've got El Zilcho. Look, I'm notes on my phone. I've got nothing to talk about. And that's when I'm like, I'll Google like news.com. Like, is there something I can talk about?
Man.
I've exhausted all of my life is now in these episodes. I've got nothing else to talk. And I repeat stories sometimes without even knowing. So I've got a terrible memory. And people will be like, you've said that one already.
When you're playing the scale game, you do.
Yeah. I've done one story, I think, 3 times. it's the laxative tea. You know the green laxative tea?
Tell it again. Make it a fourth time.
So there's this, never-ending quest to lose weight, and I walked into this Asian grocery, and there was like slimming tea. I'm like, oh, that sounds good. So just thought, oh, it'll have something that'll help me be thin, which it very much does. And so I was eating healthy, and I was having this tea every morning as I produced a breakfast radio show. And then halfway through the show, I'd be like, oh my god, it's intense guttural pain. And I'm like, oh god. And so you'd run, and then it was like, you know, rocket ship taking
escaping
off. It was just like everything would exit. And then, you know, I was losing weight and I was like, am I losing weight and getting sick? And I couldn't work out why. I'm like, oh, this green tea, though, so healthy. Kept drinking it. Ended up...
shitting out your organs.
Oh, my God. I ended up contemplating going to the doctor because I was so... It's so painful. Yeah. And then
this is the guy who's been addicted to nasal spray for 3 years and not done anything. So it must have been really bad.
It was so bad. And then a friend of mine goes... just walked into the studio as I was getting a tea bag out and goes, oh my God, that stuff killed me when I used it. Like, the laxative effect of it. I was just like shitting like this. And I was like, yeah. I've only just, like, I made that connection instantly and went, oh my God, it's the tea. And I was like, yeah, really?
A montage of you
on
the toilet.
I've only just bought it. I've been using it for the last 3 months. I realized. But I made the same mistake. Again, I was like, don't buy that slimming tea. Walked in and there's the fat blaster pills.
Oh, yeah.
Blast the fat away.
Yeah.
And so I was like, yes, great. That's what I want to do. I want to eat halal snack packs but have the fat blasted away.
The blasting.
So I took these pills.
Oh, no.
Again, severe, like, intestinal pain. I got to the level where I was having an ultrasound, right? And the guy was like, wait, it's not your appendix. I thought my appendix was going to burst because I couldn't bend. I couldn't do anything. And then they thought there was something in my intestine. And then as I'm having the ultrasound, the doctor goes, oh, like, you know, are you taking anything? And I was like, oh, not really. I mean, I've been taking zinc pills and some iron and these fat blaster pills. And he stops mid-ultrasound and he just puts the little thing back, turns the ultrasound off, and he goes, for fuck's sake, stop taking the fat blaster. That's what's doing this. And he goes, get out. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Because it's like, you've wasted my time. You've wasted the resources. So and it was just because I was taking the stupid fat blaster pills. And that's when I realized... there's no cure. It's just a healthy diet and exercise.
It's just it's Tabulian Lab.
That's the name of this episode.
I'm going to try that.
It's delicious. It's really yummy. It's a daily talk show, everyone. Christian Hull, thank you for being on, for chatting. And as I say after every episode, this isn't like an interview. It's more of a conversation. So the idea is that you can like come back as a friend of the show. And
tell
we can
us
like
that story for
do
this.
It again.
Yeah,
we can do
it again.
Fifth skinny tea story.
In 100 episodes, because I usually do that story every 100 episodes.
It sounds beautiful. Hi at thedailytalkshow.com for any complaints, for email complaints.
Are you looking for staff?
No, hi at
hi,
the
day.
HI. This is great because we're really selling it
people
in.
HIGH, like they're not replying.
I should probably set that up as well. Yeah, hi@thedailytalkshow.com. People can send emails. Do you take emails on your? I guess you just
emails
use Facebook.
Are so old school. Yeah, like, they're so old school.
But people write them. We get lots of people sending through.
Yeah, it's we're getting people wanting our stickers. We've got stickers now.
Have you got them here?
Yeah, we'll give
I want a sticker.
All right, The Daily Talk Show. Have a good one, everyone. Bye.
Christian Hall on Facebook.